Well, here we are already. You know, time's gone by very quickly. I hope that our time is being used wisely for the Lord. I know that this is the fifth Sunday in December already, and we've already had two messages in Philippians, actually three, and then, of course, we had a Christmas message last week. But I want to draw your attention over here to Philippians chapter 2, and actually, last time I preached on Philippians, we were looking at Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 11, and, you know, the whole emphasis was humility in Christ. God resists the proud, but he gives the grace to the humble. It's either you're going to humble yourself now here on earth, or whether you're in heaven or hell, you're going to have to humble and realize that Jesus is to all the praise, honor, and glory. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is glorified to the Father. So there's no way of getting around to it. You know, we all make our choices. And, you know, I had already, we had in Sunday school, we talked about New Year's resolutions, and there's a list of resolutions on the board. You know what? I don't really get into that because I take my life one day at a time. God does not take pleasure in fools. In other words, don't do anything foolish. Make let your yeas be nays. Let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. Got that one right. Okay. So with that being said, today we're going to be looking at our salvation and service. There was a point in time once when we accepted Christ as our Savior. It does not mean that, you know, we are going to get saved and we lose our salvation. It has nothing to do with that because Christ doesn't lose anything. He was able to save us because we responded to his word, to his spirit. You know, he drew us close to him. We responded. We're his. And, you know, thank God for that. And our service as we serve him on. Let me get into the word. It says here, therefore, my beloved, as you have already obeyed, not as in my present only, but now much more in my absence. So Paul is writing this letter from jail, and he's saying, you know, I want you to obey Christ. Obey as I have obeyed. You know, he's setting the example. I hope this coming up new year that we're setting the example for one another. You know, the love and good works. We want to see that happen. We see a lot of bad things happening in the world today. And so for it is God who works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. So God wants us to work out our own salvation, much more in his absence, but to work out our own salvation. And I have a list here. There's some things that we don't do and some things we should do. We should go ahead and work out our own salvation here with, and we see that there are ways that sometimes that we fail in our spiritual life, you know, or lack of instruction from God's word, from the being negligent from Bible reading and prayer in church, getting negative influence from others, uncertain about our beliefs, the lure in the world system, doubts about God, temptation, and the list could go on. But God wants us to dwell on those good things, to work out our salvation. You know, he just doesn't save us and say, go get them. You know, what does that mean? No, we've got everything we need that God has equipped us for the ministry, for the saints here we are today. God has equipped us. For we need to be seeing growth for one area. There's many areas, but one area I'm going to pinpoint here today is evidence in our growth, the increasing awareness of our sins and weaknesses. Hey, are we going to work on those coming up, or is starting today? We don't have to wait till next year, right? We need to work on those. Responding to sin with immediate repentance. Get it under blood. Okay, it's time to move on. Forgiving one another. Okay, they had a bad day, I had a bad day. Okay, let's work together, hand in hand. Rejoicing even in intense spiritual battles. If you had a spiritual battle this week, oh yeah. Twas the day after Christmas. I read that poem last week. I'm not going to repeat that, but that's true. A lot of people got the Christmas, they call it the after Christmas blues, you know. And I talked to one lady I was witnessing to the other day, and she goes, yeah, I can't wait till my kids go back to school so they can show off their new clothes and you know, get with their friends again. Seeing trials and temptations and as opportunities, trials should strengthen us. Do something like go for a walk and clear your mind out and think about, Lord, I'm going through this temptation. Please help me to overcome this. And God will. But remember, you're in a spiritual battle. Jesus talked more about the spiritual issues than he talked about the physical. The physical will work the ways out. God will protect you if you're his child. Even the unsaved, God allows the rain to come on the unsaved, and he allows the rain to come on the saved. And then we see viewing service to Christ as a high honor, not a burden. Yes, because he said in Matthew that he would allow our burdens to be light. He says, come all ye that are heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take upon my yoke is light. Okay? And then we are sensing growth in our faith. We continue to be faithful in all things. Just, you know. And then an increasing desire to obey, and a diminishing attraction to sin. So walk away from it. Tempt it, walk away. Jealousy, guarding our own private devotions and prayer. Take that time. Remember, we all need to spend time with him alone. Sometimes it's best just to get in that prayer closet or just be alone with him. You know, shut everything off, the phones, the tablet that you have, you know, and get alone with him. Increasing desire to give. And Lord, in other words, what I'm trying to say is involve yourself in ways to grow in the Lord. Because if you're stagnated, and this is a horrible illustration I'm going to say anyway, you've been around stagnant water, it starts to smell after a while. Nothing grows in it. It just gets moldy and ooey after a while. Get moving around. Get moving. So, growing in hunger for the Lord, and of course, sensing God's love, God's presence in your life. So, as we see that here, that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for God who works in you, to do this for his own good pleasure. You know, we need to work things out. There's an amazing story. There was a lady, and she was only, at the time, 15 years old. God called her into the ministry, and she ignored it. She walked away and said, nope. We talked about that in Sunday school, about losing your reward in heaven. Certain things that God has told you. God has a plan of salvation. You're saved, but he has certain works for you to do. Remember, that has nothing to do with you getting to heaven. Talking about the beaming seat of Christ, losing your rewards that you could have had done. I've met Christians who have walked away from God, and they could have done a lot to glorify God, but they didn't. This one lady, 15 years of age, God called her, and she knew God called her into the mission field. True story. She walked away, and she met a guy, fell madly in love with him. He turned out to be an alcoholic. Drinking started beating her and everything else, and it was just a horrible situation. But through a lot of prayer, a lot of people praying, this man came to know Christ at the age of 80, and then he passed away. All right, but the story's not over with yet. She was younger than he was, so she was at 76 years of age. Now, if you're in your 70s or 80s, I'm not saying you should do this, but this is something might spark something inside you. Get a fire going here. You know, God's not finished with you yet until you go home to be with him. And so this lady decided to rededicate herself to become a missionary at 76 years of age. Kids are grown or gone. You know, but it's not for everybody. But if God calls you, you better do it. All right, because your life will be miserable if you don't follow the Lord. And then she became a missionary in the Philippines. She started with an orphanage, had over 30 kids come on out, 35 kids, and a two-story, 2,000-square-foot white stucco home called Luis Lola, which means grandmother in their native Tagalog language. And so she was asked this as time went on. And, of course, she's passed away since then. But she was asked. What makes her nervous, she says, confidentially, I serve a mighty God. He's in control. Oh, yeah. Okay. Every day he keeps your heart beating. Every day he gives you life. I feel I am not talented enough to do any of this. She says, I have no degrees. I don't have anything. I just have a burden. I have a desire. I got to serve the Lord day and night. I got to serve him because what else is there to serve? You know, and say, well, that's not for me because I work a job. Oh, that's just as important. You're doing that job or you might be retired, but you're using that retirement as God has called you to use what the time you have. Problem is, why today we have so many problems? I think people have too much time on their hand. They don't know what to do with it. Get busy for the Lord. Ask what you can do for your church, not what your church can do for you, right? I borrowed that from Ronald Reagan. It's not, don't ask what your country can do for you. Do, you know what I mean. So she says, I feel and I'm not talented enough to do anything but this, but God enables me and my responsibilities to do what I can. Do what you can, you know. God has given you gifts, talents. Use them for the glory of God. Start today, start doing it if you can. Also, there are risk takers in life. Try to be a risk taker. Try to be somebody who will take risks. Step out. One person explained, what is faith? Stepping out when nothing's there. Nothing. And trust God. You know? Be a risk taker. So, continue on here in verse 13. This is where I left off here. So, we're working at our salvation. We're doing his service. We're doing it unto his will and do his good pleasure. The church of Philippi, remember, is just a small church. They were growing, though, because Paul was in jail. He was writing, and do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God. So, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So, we need to have a good character. We talked about godly character about 3 or 4 weeks ago. What is good godly Christian character? And the nature of our character should be ministry and his service, a motive for ministry and love, a measure of ministry and sacrifice. The authority of ministry is submissiveness. I'll get it right. The purpose of ministry is to glorify God. The tools of ministry are the word of God and prayer. The privilege of ministry is growth. I'm just throwing all these out to you. You're like, oh boy, this is stacking up here. You know what? Just grab one of them and say, oh, that's for me. Okay? The power of ministry is the Holy Spirit. The model of ministry is Jesus Christ. So we have lots and lots of goodies here. It's like going to a smorgasbord when you open up the Word of God. You have a lot of things to choose from. Grab a book from the Bible. Start reading it. See, some people I've met, some Christians have been Christians for years, had never read through their whole Bible. Never. And I'm like, why don't you take like a chapter a day? Because I can only digest so much. And I think over the holidays, we've all had plenty to eat, you know. And we've all maybe suffered a little heartburn, or, you know, and so we just, God will give us enough. When God tells you to stop reading God's word to a certain point, stop. Ask the Holy Spirit to work in you and say, you know what, I've had enough reading. Whew. Now I need to digest it and understand what it means. But some people say, read a Bible in a year and they, you know, they do everything lock, stock, and barrel. And before they know it, they're just reading it because they have to read it. No, 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 no. You read it because God tells you to read it. So God wants us to use that time to protect ourselves. This morning I come out here and I'm just driving on the Silver Lake Road down by the Catholic Church, ready to take a left here. And I think this guy's just going to keep on going, right? Nope, but the last second, I look both ways, right, and look again. And then, you know, with me, I keep on looking back and forth because I never know. But no, this guy comes, and all of a sudden, he hits the blinker, and he cuts right in front of me. I'm like, whoa, if I had just thought he was going to go, please be careful this holiday season. Be careful. People aren't thinking. And I pray that I'm thinking, too. Lord, help me to think. So God protects us, and that you may be blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We are supposed to be the light of Christ. I have so many beautiful lights here. I'm going to hate to take them down. You know, work so hard, all of you helping, putting things up and praying and giving and being part of our church. And but there are different, excuse me, there's another lot kind of light out there that people are talking about with these drones and these weird lights in the sky. And there's one scripture verse that always comes back to my mind. It's found back in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "Hear the word which the Lord speaks." And you start questioning about what they're saying in the news about this. "Hear what the Lord speaks to you, Jeremiah 10, 1, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven." People say, well, that could be astrology, or that could be weird lights in the sky. And, you know, for the Gentiles are dismayed by them. They don't know what they are. But I know there's going to be a great deception in the end days. And we're living in the end days. There's going to be deceptions. And things that are going to look good, they are no good. And every time they talk about these weird lights or people dealing with these things, it's never been anything good. And I'm not going to get into it while I'm here in public, because I've been laughed at before, and it's all come to fruition. I know what it is, okay? And I have proof, and I've studied it a lot. But God wants us to be concerned about what's going on here on earth. Don't worry about what's going on in the sky. Be concerned what you're being called to do for Christ. That's what he wants us to do. You know, that kind of stuff could just take up all your time, which is not good. So we should shine as lights in the world. Excuse me. Holding fast the word of life, that's the word of God, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. So, you know, we need to rejoice. We're rejoicing today. The signs are out. The joy of the Lord is our strength, right? In Nehemiah, I think 8:10 or 10:8, right? We get the numbers confused sometimes. So it's a wonderful thing that, you know, we have the joy of the Lord. And I pray that we will continue, because God will give us that joy. We looked at this the week before last in James chapter 1. That count it all joy, brethren, when you go through trials. So, you know, I've just been through one trial. I'm going through another, right? And some days are just all nothing but trials. But God wants us to count it all joy when what? We go through trials. Trials should what? Strengthen us. Strengthen us. I want to encourage you here coming up this holiday season. You know, it should help us. And sometimes I have to catch myself. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm taking this all the wrong way. You know, this is all about my attitude and how I should look at things. You know, if you look at love, love covers a multitude of sins, and love will help you, Christ's love will help you get along better with yourself and the Lord. So, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of the Lord. And what is the day of the Lord? Stop here for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. It says, therefore we make it our aim, whether it be present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the day of the Lord, which he's talking about. that each one may receive the things done in the body according to that which he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known of God, that I also trust are well known in your consciences. So if we want God to work in our life, our conscience could be a very good thing, okay? And also it's our protection because it keeps us away from sin. It says don't do that, and we need to obey that. So it's talking about the being a seed of the Christ, being a seed of Christ with the day of the Lord. So we need to know that one day we're going to rejoice. Rejoice, all ye Christians, rejoice. That I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So we have what happens with us when we labor today in life. Sometimes there's four areas here that we call the overload of life. That we are overloaded with commitments. Be careful about how many commitments you make a day or what time you have. Okay? You know, remember when you had the phone with the cord, we used to pick it up, you know. Today we have people on their cell phones that are always looking at their cell phones. We never picked up the corded phone all the time. We're just waiting for a call. Also, we are overloaded with possessions. Some people have more stuff than you know what to do with. You know, they have just so many things. My philosophy is, I know Kimberly doesn't think too much of, give it all away if you're not using it. What do you need? Of course, you never tell a woman that because she likes all her things. You know, it's just the wrong kind of thing to do. They like the pretty and good things. And after a while, the guys get it. They're just like, okay, I got that. Third, we have an overload area of work. Sometimes we're just overloaded with work and we become fleshly and tired and weary and well-doing. And God wants us, you know, be quickened by his spirit and say, you know, forgive yourself. Ask God for forgiveness. You sin against somebody because you've just been overworked. Then, you know, if the person doesn't understand, it's, you know, if you do understand the person, hey, it's like water off the back. I've had those days too. We get kind of mean and fleshly and, you know, I'm just really tired. You know, leave me alone. or you jump on somebody for some reason. And number four, there is also an information overload. You know, we can go on the internet. We get a lot of opinions today. We get a big overload with everything. I'm trying to include with the message what we're going through today because we live in an information age. You know, we have one person here who flies a plane. Well, I'm sure they have to take tests every year or something to keep up on everything. We have a retired teacher here, which he had to keep up on everything that what was going on. And, you know, the list could go on and on. So he says, yes, I am being poured out as a drink offering, a sacrifice and service of your faith. So he says, I'm here to serve you. And I am being pretty much sacrificed. You know, I read something that they used to do, the people that were horrible criminals, the pagans used to do this. They used to take the people that were horrible people and they used to use them as sacrifices, okay? But flip the coin for a minute. Just flip your coin, okay? You looked at the tail. Look at the head. You know what? We are living sacrifices for the Lord. We are sacrificing our lives to him by the renewing of our mind that we may be what? That what God has called us to do. And that I am glad to rejoice with you all. Verse 18, for this same reason, you also be glad and rejoice in me. So, it's interesting with the rejoicing we can have. We've had fellowship with one another. You know, we pray for other churches. There's a couple people here who've been here. And, you know, their church closed down today for a reason. Okay, but they're here because they want to come to church. And I said, yeah, we're going to pray for your church, you know. I said, we don't believe in sheep stealing here. We believe in, you know, hey, if you're happy at your church, great. Stay there and continue to grow. We'll support you in that. And I'm always very encouraged by seeing that people are going to church. But like I said, in Bible prophecy, there's the great apostasy. Some people just aren't going to church anymore. They're made up excuses. And that is between them and the Lord. But we have a new year. It's interesting what's coming up. We have January is taken from the Latin word Jano, which means a door or portal. They had a god called that Janu, which was a two-faced god looking in the past, looking into the future. And it was a Roman god, and it did that. And at that time, they used to celebrate by giving gifts to one another. You say, wait a minute, sounds like Christmas. No, it wasn't about Christmas. It was about back in the Roman pagan era. It was about giving gifts for forgiveness. It's almost like a bribe. I really hurt you. I'm sorry. Here, have a gift. You know, it's amazing. You take that illustration and spiritualize it and say, you know, the blood of Christ took care of that. You know, he's my gift. He's the best gift, the reason of the season. And it should give us joy, happiness, peace, contentment. If you don't have contentment today, something's not right. Something's not right. He says, for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. Then he says here about Timothy. He says, look, after we've gotten into all this, just remember this, that Timothy is going to come visit you. I can't be there. You know, isn't it wonderful? We can have people today that can come visit us. People need some help, some need. Like we said last week, you know, Christmas time, we'd sing some carols and we'd go to shut-ins. People need help. We have one lady here from Evan here today. And it was just wonderful that, you know, we can reach out and be for people who are shut-ins, you know. And we have, that's why we minister at Evan. It's important. But he says here, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. Now, Timothy had been to Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, Ephesus, and Rome. He's saying, look, and Timothy would come and visit Paul and say, is there anything I can do to help you out? Ask yourself today, just try to get some courage. I know it's hard to have courage today in some instances, but go out and say this to your neighbor, hey, is there anything I can do for you? I thought I'd just stop by and I feel kind of shamefaced or kind of shy, but I've had people do this to me. Is there anything I can do? I've known you for years and I thought about it, but I was just too scared. But you know, when somebody gives you an offering like that, say, yeah, sure, I appreciate that. Talk in grace. And, you know, flip the coin around the other way and say, you know, is there anything that I can do for you? It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't take anything away from you. When you give, don't expect anything back. You just give them because you love people. You can't touch somebody who's full of love like that. But he's going to send Timothy, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. It's nice that he's sincere about it. For all who seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character. And, you know, we were talking about that in the church of Corinth. Some people had believed that they had arrived. You know, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. I'm of Peter. I'm of Christ. So wait a minute, it's okay to be of Christ. No, they had the wrong kind of Jesus put in that puzzle. Missing the puzzle is to have Christ, but they were full of pride and they were knocking Paul. A lot of people were knocking him because they thought, well, he's been a jailbird. He hangs around rowdy people. He's helping out the despised one, despicable people. He's different. You know, he's not all that good looking. His speech isn't all that well, and he can't see too well. And they were all, have you ever been around somebody who's just making up excuses to get rid of you? So, but Timothy was a different character. He was a proven character in verse 22 that as a son with a father, he served me in the gospel. And I hope today, like we closed in Sunday school, I hope we all have sons and daughters in the faith. You know, even if it's your own daughter or somebody or your own son or somebody that you know in your family or somebody you've known in the past, pray for them because, You know, the devil's out there, and he's out to destroy us. And he will try it again today, and he will try it again tomorrow, because he knows his time is short. He knows Jesus is coming back. Amen? Jesus could come back at any time. And we can't say it enough, because it's true. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. He's saying, you know, look, at this time when he's in prison in Rome writing to this letter, he's hoping that he can go to Spain. He has plans. We all have plans this new year, right? We all have places we're thinking about, projects, things we want to do, people we want to visit. But God may change those. So we have to give thanks in all things. And sometimes it's a hard piece of bread. I'm using the expression, a hard piece of bread to chew on. And you know, God helps us through that too. So, moving along here. So, then he mentions somebody else here, Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, you realize that name means gambler? He is a gambling man. You say, wait a minute. How could this man be a gambling man? Well, we're going to read here in a minute. This man was sick, almost to the point of death. He loved the Lord. He was a servant. He didn't have to be called any name. But he gambled on the Lord. And you're saying, I thought gambling was wrong. Yes, the worldly gambling is wrong, but Epaphroditus means gambler. Okay, but this man emptied of himself. As we look here in Philippians chapter 2, remember, Jesus emptied of himself. Let me challenge you here this morning. Empty yourself and let God fill you, okay? And I can see Christ in you. I'm not talking about some woo-woo thing, but I'm talking about it's a genuine love, and you're like, I want to be with those people. I like those people. They're fun to be with. Man, you know, and thinking evil of people. So yet he says, I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker. Calls him a brother and a fellow worker. A fellow soldier? Wow, is somebody who would fight alongside of you? You know, if you ever been in combat before in a military service, it changes. And I've said this before, you have a new family. It's called your comrades. You think about Russians call their friends comrades. This means companion, that's all. Would they stick up with you? Would they fight for you? Would they go through everything with you when you're being fired at? Would they understand what you're going through? Or would they just slam the lid on you and leave you deserted, leave you out high and dry to die out there by yourself? And I hope that's not true. And I don't think that's true here. But your messenger, and he's also a messenger. In other words, they would travel by foot. We talked about Mary, okay, being pregnant last week, right? And going from Nazareth to Bethlehem would have taken 5 days. At least, let alone for a pregnant woman. Can you imagine what she had to go through? Oh, Mary. Okay, Mary, did you know that you would have to go? Somebody said to me, God empowered her. God gave her strength. But let me ask you something here today. God's empowered you and is strengthening you, right? Is it hard? You better believe it is. It's hard. And that's why I respect people here who have been through the mill. I'm like, got my mouth shut. And I'm like, Lord, what a privilege it is to meet people here that are like this, who've been through the mill. And it says, and the one, he's talking about Epaphroditus, who ministered to my needs. So he was ministering. And I pray and encourage you one another, keep on ministering to one another as Christ has ministered to us. So he goes on to say, since you were all longing for you all, and he was longing and was distressed because you had heard He was sick. Not only that, but have you ever gone to a job before and you've been sick because you had to put food on the table and you were exhausted and tired? That's hard. And you're like, God, only you can get me through this, you know? And God does. He does, because you're determined. You have a strong, we people here have a very strong will, and they are determined, by golly, I am going to do this by the grace of God, and I'm going to get this done no matter what. And you're like, oh, be careful. And honestly, being sincere, you know, sometimes you don't want people to hurt themselves. But sometimes God allows you to push yourself over the line, push you that extra step. Why? He'll make you stronger in the long run. You know, maybe some people won't believe you and say, oh, you're too old, or you're weak, you're not good enough. Don't listen to that. Remember, it's you that has to answer to the Lord, right? Not the critic. Who cares? That's all right, because you learn from a critic what they're thinking. And the more people talk, isn't that better? The more you learn about what other people are thinking. Smart people keep their mouths shut, right? Yeah, they listen. So here he was sick, for indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Thank God he's merciful, and his grace is sufficient. You know, Brian, who's going to be coming here next week, and you know, I know it's going to be a blessing. He always puts down, by his mercies and his grace. And he'll sign, he'll put Brian McIntyre. That's right. It's only by his mercy that we're here. It's only by his grace that we're here. And so, therefore I sent to him the more eagerly that when you see him again, you may rejoice. He says, I can't wait to when he comes to see you. And what a rejoicing time, that day of rejoicing that will be. And that I may be less sorrowful. And he's saying, look, when he comes, let me know. Let me know, okay? He's going to take this letter and he's going to deliver it to y'all, okay? He's going to deliver it to you. Isn't that nice when you get a card or letter from somebody and like, wow, they thought about me. And I tell you what, the cards and just the letters are special. Even a phone call. Oh, hi, how you doing? Brightens up your day. How you been? You know, a lady who used to come here called me one. Oh, no, I think I called her. Wanted to check up on her. I'm the checkup man. I make sure, you know, people who leave here, widows, whatever. How you doing? How are things going? She goes, you know, Pastor, I miss church. I miss this church, and I'm very lonely. And I knew exactly who she, I called this other lady at church. Because when you're talking about personal women issues, it's time for the pastor to back out and let another woman deal with that, right? And this other lady called, and it was a real blessing to her. And, you know, she needed that. She was lonely. And I was like, she needs another woman. I could encourage her and said, I will get in touch with so-and-so, and they will call you. And, you know, it took care of that. So always be there when God wants something to help with. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord, getting back to Epaphroditus with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Encourage one another today. When somebody's going out of the way for you, thank him. You know, as we look at our salvation and service, do we have gratitude? Are we gracious? Are we giving thanks? And I thank God we got some really good people here. Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So he didn't care about himself. It's one thing when you say, oh, I'm just doing this unto the Lord. But it's the other thing. Let me encourage you to go that extra step. That you go that extra mile, as they would call it. There was one man here, as I'm closing, with the signers of Declaration of Independence. This just really makes me think, man, this guy sacrificed everything. Hear me out. This is just one of the 56 men who lost everything. After they signed their names to it, you know, as a Christian, it's, you have to count the cost. Let me read. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. This is when the British were coming. His wife was dying. Sorry, babe, I got to go. I'm going to pray for you. I love you. And gave her a hug and a kiss. And it was just like, I'm so sorry. I have to go. She goes, it's okay. I know I'm going with Jesus. Their 13 children fled for their lives. They fled to the fields. I wish I was making this up, but it's true. And their mill and their house was destroyed. A year later, this man, John Hart, he lived in forests and caves because he was a wanted man. He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. It's a real story. Can you imagine living off the land? Okay. Just surviving off of grass. Oh, an acorn looks good. I'll eat that too. You know, all that we have today. But if you take that away, they say in 3 days at the grocery store, it's true. In 3 days, if the train stopped coming, delivering food through here, okay, we'd run out of food in 3 days. What would you do? What would you do? I'm not saying run to Panic Palace, even though one place I went to the other day, it's D&D, Dunkin' Donuts, $1.88 for a donut. I'm like, what? You know, I remember it used to be 35 cents for a donut. It shows you how much I go to Dunkin' Donuts, but I did it for Kimberly. I said, it's amazing. That's crazy. I remember they used to be, what, 50 cents a donut? But anyway, nothing against Dunkin' Donuts. I like support Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, so for over a year, he was hiding in caves and in the forest, returning home only to find his wife dead and his children vanished. And I hate to leave with a realistic note, but that's life, you know? You just deal with it. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion. And I'm like, oh, but this is where the good news comes in. Jesus Christ. They can take whatever they want. They can take my body. But it says in Romans, fear that the one whose soul will burn in hell. In other words, it says in a Romans verse, okay, and I can't give you a chapter and verse, but we should fear God who has authority over life between heaven and hell. That's where the fear and trembling comes in. But thank God, he knew where his children were going to be. He knew where his wife would be. He knew where he was going to be. And let me encourage you, when things go south this coming up year, encourage yourself in the Lord, even today. So you know what? They can take what the devil can give me the hardest time and I'm suffering and I'm hurting, or whether it be physical or spiritual, it doesn't matter. But you know what? I got a home in heaven. And that's why I see certain people here in our congregation. It's got such a beautiful smile. I can see Christ in you. I can see that love and that joy. You can't take it away. It's not for sale. You can't buy it at the market. It was freely given to your people, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for our salvation and service. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you've all done for us. We live amongst a sinful nation with sinful people. And Lord, but you've given us the light of the gospel. You've given us so much that we burn inside because we realize, Lord, that the fire that you've given to us, we want it to be seen throughout the world. And even in our darkest times that we've had this week, we have had some very dark, dark, dark times. That, Lord, thank God for our salvation. I'm praying for anybody who's listening online. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, what have you got? What if a man gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? Where are you going to be, my friend? When you die, there's a place to gain, which is heaven, and there's a place that nobody wants to go to. It's called hell. That it's there because people who reject Christ, and I'm sorry, but there are no gray areas. There are no middle areas. It's either yes or no. And if you reject Christ openly, telling people, nah, I don't want to hear it. It's the holidays. It's nice. Merry Christmas too, or Happy New Year. You know what? God hears that. And, you know, we will be judged by what we say one day. Lord, thank you for those that are saved here today, but my heart trembles and I fear there are people today, even some online that are listening, that are not, don't want it. It's one thing when you're searching for the truth. That's, God will reveal himself to you. And I've done, said that to many people. God will show you one. I know he will. I talked to a man this past week. I said, I really believe you keep on searching. God will reveal himself. He goes, I'm really mixed up. I don't, he was trying to tell me about his philosophies, about woke, about everything else. I said, but he goes, I believe there is a Jesus. I said, why don't you stop here? Relax and start reading his word. Start getting serious with him. Start seeking him and he will find you out. You're lost, but he will find you. But I said, don't give up. Keep on seeking him. So I left it with that. And, you know, we walked away agreeable. But Lord, we know there's an adversary. There's no such thing as rebuking the devil, Lord. It's called resisting the devil and he must flee. Call on the Lord and he must resist, you know, resist the devil. We don't rebuke him, we resist him. Even Michael said in Daniel, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord, not me, the Lord rebuke you. We're no match against the enemy, Lord, but in the spiritual realm, we thank you for our trials and tribulations to strengthen us. We just thank you for this day. We pray that we'll be more like Timothy and Epaphroditus and continue to strengthen us. And we thank you for our service and we thank you for our salvation. We pray as the new year comes that we can think about ways that we can better ourselves and not to tempt you. God, you take no pleasure in fools. Let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. Lord, you will show us. I believe we don't need resolutions. You know, we just need to resolute to you that we want to be more Christ-like. Help us, Lord, because we need you. We hunger for your righteousness. And through his blood, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.